here. And so, you know, if half of them play, I would say that's a great thing, honestly, for the health of the program. You know, of course, you don't want to have to continue to rely on freshmen, but here's the deal, Case. Like, we've got to continue to be patient with this process. You know, I know that this year didn't go the way that anybody wanted it to. And here's the deal, like, we can't promise that next year is going to, you know, just be completely a flip around like we saw back from 74 to 75. You know, that's not a guarantee. And so, we've got to just continue to be patient. We got to continue to build the program the right way. And I would just say, you know, I think definitely more than five guys, you know, which I would consider the average, will probably see the field this year. But I can never really say how many will, for sure, because there's 6 months, you know, from now until we report for camp in August. A lot can go on. A lot of these guys, they could focus a lot more than others. Some of them could lose focus. And until you really get them in and see what they are capable of doing right away, you really won't be able to make that determination.
That brings me to another question. So, how do you determine who redshirts and who plays? And it sounds like we're going to have depth this year, and being around the team a lot last year, we didn't have a lot of depth. That's why a lot of starters were still playing in the fourth quarter in some of those games. But how do you determine who redshirts, who doesn't, when to burn a redshirt, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So, no, you're exactly right. I would just kind of piggyback on that comment. Our depth last year at a lot of positions was really disappointing, really frustrating. You know, for example, we had to move Bo Bell late in the year from DB, which we had three of those guys typically for most of the year at cornerback. We had to move him to tailback because we were down to two, and really he was like the second one now. And you know, what a very difficult circumstance to be in as a coach and as a team and just everybody. You know, it puts everybody in a very susceptible situation. But you know, with these guys coming in, they fall into three categories typically. They would be a category of, oh man, he is ready to play right away. He's got the skill set, his physicality, he's developed. There's a lot of great things that we can put on the field right away. I would go to the other category as the exact opposite and say, hey, we need to redshirt him. We need to wait. He's not ready. He's not developed. He maybe needs a little more time to just understand football or get his body in a better, you know, physicality for what we need to step out there as a college football player. And that's okay. You know, that's kind of what is the expectation typically. And then you have this third group that nowadays we've been afforded to have three games at the Division II level where we can play them and it still, you know, could be a redshirted situation. So, you know, I think typically you can tell with a guy probably within the first 5 to 10 practices where they're going to fit in. And then those guys that are right in the middle there, you got to just kind of see how they develop, see how they catch on, see how maybe, you know, if you got three games to work with them on, you know, how do they do out there in real competition? And, you know, our decision to really redshirt or non-redshirt comes down to this. You know, we're going to play the best players. If you can help us win games and compete on Saturdays, you're going to be on the field. And we're going to make sure that it's significant reps and not just burn a guy just for a quarter or just a game at the end of the season or, you know, maybe three plays a game, you know, throughout 10 games of the year. We want to make sure that it's going to be significant experience for him to give him a good first year under his belt and, you know, to make sure that he's growing in the right direction.
Head coach Shane Richardson joins us right here on Radio Results Network, brought to you by Window Outfitters. And coach, let's talk about the development of the players. When it comes to the weight room, what are some of the things that these players need to do between now, which is recruiting day, and the time you guys step on the field in August to get bigger and stronger and potentially be able to play in this first year?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the high school guys, this is a challenge that I have for a lot of them, is you want to stay active in sports. I think that's really important so that you can be coached, you can continue to keep your bodies going in a good direction. You know, now that it's starting to wrap up with our winter sports, you know, going into a spring sport, whether it's baseball, whether it's lacrosse, whether it's track, you know, you name it, whatever they can get involved with, do that. Compete, be coached. It keeps you regularly training. And we also need you to know how important it is that you're going to need to lift. You're going to need to train. You're going to need to start to develop your mind and your mentality into a college football player, where you're going to have to put on some weight. You're going to have to work on some foot quickness. You're going to need to, work on some flexibility. And we'll have a program that we're able to get those guys here for the next 6 months. And, they're expected to be able to follow that and be able to do that. And, you can tell the guys that really want it and really prepare well and know how to get themselves ready and the guys that don't and need a wake-up call. And so sometimes, you're able to see that right away in August when they show up. But it's never a perfect science. You take an 18-year-old kid that just graduated high school and he was the best player on his team, and you never know what you're going to get after that.
It's always that big fish, small pond, then you go to a small fish in a big pond. And coach, let's talk about the quarterback play. Right or wrong, a lot of pressure gets put on that quarterback for wins and losses, whether it's their job or not. We have coming back Jake Billets. We also have Aiden Horde coming back. We also have two guys that are coming in from De Pere and one from Menominee. So let's talk about that a little bit and what you expect out of the quarterback room.
For sure. So Aiden, he's got to develop. He showed himself as having significant reps this year, stepped in as the starter there halfway through the year. And, there's so many things that he is going to need to be able to do better. And he's got the chance to do that. He's got the opportunity to do that. And he's got a good spring ahead of him where he's going to be able to take a lot of the snaps here in the springtime. And, he's going to have to prove what he's capable of doing here within the next 6 months, of course, right? Jake, I think I would say the same thing for him. He did not see as much time as Aiden, but Jake still has an opportunity to improve. He's got an opportunity to grow. He's got an opportunity to look at himself from maybe what he did or didn't do in his opportunities from the fall and, get those better. And, I still think that he's still got a great upside to him. You talk about Duke Chauvel coming in from West De Pere High School in the Green Bay area. He's going to be a guy that is going to bring a lot of talent with him. He's going to have a great arm. He's going to have really good feet. He's going to be able to move. Smart kid. Great family. I mean, he's got a lot of the things you want in a quarterback, and hence why we signed him. We really feel great about him, and he's going to be able to come in and challenge and compete. And, what would be super ideal is if we could gain some separation in our quarterback classes. However, again, who's going to put our team in the best situation possible to compete and win? And, that's just always going to be a constant evaluation, and that's going to be the standard for what we're going to use with those guys. And then Trevor from Menominee. Trevor is we're not going to count him out at quarterback. I already talked about that. But what I would say is, he's got a chance to show what he can do too. And I think his skill set could be actually different than some of the other guys. And, if that comes to fruition to where we see that there's some things that Trevor can do, and it can be a significant role for him, then, hey, we're going to use that where we see it fit. And so, just to have some competition there, we're still going to recruit that position. That's really only four guys. We're still looking for one or two more guys to fill that spot. And, you just want to make sure that guys understand that that's a key position for the football team to be successful. And so our offense is going to go and our team is going to go as the quarterback goes. And so we want to make sure we got the right guys in that room.
You look at your roster and you lose Franco Williams, Gerhard, Kyle Saar. Obviously, you got seven guys that are coming in. Michael Love is still here. Let's talk about how you develop these wide receivers and how they run routes and how they get open and what they have to do to see the field.
Well, it's so ironic that you bring those names up, right? Because Kyle Saar really should be more of a fullback type guy, tight end type guy. Chuck Gerhard, again, probably more of a tight end type guy. But those guys were receivers for us last year, right? I mean, and that tells you where we were with the personnel. That's why we had to sign seven guys here to come in as freshmen. These guys, I think, are all very capable, very athletic. I think there's going to be, kind of two different types. I think they all have skill sets that are different in and of their own rights. But, you know, you're looking for big guys, guys that can go up and get the ball, guys that can be physical and block. And then you're also looking for guys that are able to have a little bit more wiggle and, you know, do some things where it's going to be a little bit more dynamic in terms of movements. And I think we got a great mix of both. You know, all seven of those guys coming in are going to be really good for us. And, you know, again, like we just go back to last year's situation. We had four guys at one time that we had traveling every single road trip and dressing and trying to go out there and play every single game. And it's just not ideal. You know, you wear those guys down. There's not enough competition in practice. And, you know, those guys get banged up or whatever. And now, you know, they're not as inclined to go across the middle and whatever, right? And so we've got to be able to soup that position up. And I think we've addressed that by getting seven of these guys today.
You have six from the UP coming in, 11 from the Lower Peninsula, 13 from Wisconsin, 9 from Illinois, and 4, I say, from far away.
Yeah.
I saw Florida in there, Tennessee, Minnesota, California. When you're starting to talk about Tennessee and California, how do you make contact with these guys, and how do they know about Northern Michigan University?
Yep, good question. So I would go back and just try to describe to the listeners, we want to take a footprint that starts in Marquette and, you know, whether we're going west or east, and we're going to draw a circle around campus and where we are and say, hey, we're going to go over and cover all the UP, all of Wisconsin, and try to dip into a little bit of that eastern side of Minnesota, you know, with the Twin Cities, and then come all the way back through and make sure all of Wisconsin is hit to the northern part of Illinois with, you know, specifically the Chicago area, and then come up through the northern part of Indiana, and then all of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, and then obviously the rest of the UP. And so we want to cover all of that territory. All of those high schools are assigned to somebody on our staff. And so, you know, what we do then is try to focus the majority of our time on those high schools. Now, I would say, you know, with these four outliers is what I would call them. Okay, James Hines, the offensive lineman from Florida. He was born in the UP. He lived in the UP. He's still got family up here, and he's got great ties to the Upper Peninsula. I think he came to football camp at Northern Michigan when he was in elementary school. And so, you know, he has known about NMU, and I think it's been something that's been at the top of his list and something that he's very familiar with. James made three different plane flights to Marquette in the recruiting process. Like, you want to talk about commitment and understanding what he's getting himself into. He knows. And so that is not even a stretch for us at all. And then we've got Eric Cleaves from Tennessee, who we have connections with our coaching staff. Coach Riddick is from the Tennessee, Memphis area. And then Coach Silve went to college in Kentucky and kind of has some ties down there. So we were able to make connection with them. And then Eric, you know, come to find out, he's got family in Detroit. And so he knows about Michigan. And so it wasn't too much of a stretch for him either. Isaac Olson, he's got a cousin on the team, right? So he's from Minnesota. He's still kind of in that footprint. But you would say, you know, the connection there is Noah Dobert is his first cousin. And so they made contact there. And I think Noah had great things to say about the program. And he was our best recruiter to get Isaac over here. And then you would say Christian Hernandez, being from California, how in the heck do you get that guy? Well, Daniel Barlage, whom was an alumni from Northern Michigan back in the 90s, came around this summer. His daughter, in fact, is on our volleyball team. He came in, met us. I spent some time with him. We kept in touch, and he just sent me his guys because he's a head coach in California. Christian is one of his guys, and so we made that connection. And, of course, he had a great experience at Northern Michigan and wanted to be able to give other guys opportunities, and Christian ended up and worked out for us to come all that distance. And so, you know, those guys are they're kind of intentional connections, right? And so we don't just spin our tires with guys that are outside the footprint, but if there's something that makes sense, we'll definitely make sure that we cover those.
Head Coach Shane Richardson joins us right here on Radio Results Network, brought to you by Window Outfitters. A couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. How much did it mean to you that so few few players left, and they're all coming back, especially as we talked about the 0-11 and knowing all the recruits that are coming in. But how much does that mean to you that the players that remained believe in this system?
I think it's huge. You know, as a coach, you look at yourself and you kind of heap so much responsibility upon what you're doing, what you're not doing. You take a look at, you know, the results of the season, and you just kind of, you know, maybe sometimes question yourself and, you know, do we need to fix things? Do we need to change things? Are we totally off base here? And I am 100% convicted that we are on the right track. And I think that right there is an example of, you know, these players see that too. And that helps me to believe that, you know, we're also on the right track, to see them stay, to see them believe in what we're doing. And you can't say enough about, you know, just their commitment to the program. And, you know, they see what we're doing. They see how we treat them. They see how we're going to coach them. They see the vision for, you know, raising the bar of expectations and wanting to be a better version of themselves, wanting to take this program to another level and get it back to where we all want it to be. And so I think they have great ambition and desire to do that. And so the 65 guys that are with us right now this spring, can't say enough about just their dedication to want to, you know, come back and be with us and not waver. You know, I mean, commitment is all about, you know, when the circumstances start to ebb and flow around you, and you know, the mountains shake a little bit and the waters, you know, get wavy, and you got to stay true to who you are. You got to stay true to what you know is good for you. I think they love it here. They know it's a great experience, and they know that there's a lot of good coming in the future.
Last question has to do with the spring game. I said we'll circle around back to it. We're going to. Spring game is coming up in April. I guess how much are you excited looking forward to that, and how much different is the team going to look from the spring game to fall camp?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. We actually have had some skill development sessions on the field with our players. We get to get out there and do some drill work with them, and just the vibe that they had. I told them this this morning in this morning's team meeting, you know, they were excited to get back on the field. There was an intentionality coming from them that I felt like was good. You know, as coaches, we didn't have to press that. We didn't have to, you know, just try to get them going and get them motivated. When they can be motivated, and obviously we're going to need this coming into this season, but when our players want it more than the coaches and more than anybody else around them, that's when it's going to be a really good thing. And so I really sensed that when they were out on the field today, and I think that's going to carry into spring ball, and that's going to be something that obviously they're going to have to continue to show. I think this spring, you know, yeah, it's going to be a different team when we get to the fall. Obviously, we're talking about these 43 incoming freshmen, and you know, it's going to look a lot different from just filling a lot of holes, creating depth, creating competition. You know, obviously some of those guys are going to end up and probably beat some of the guys out, you know, for different roles and spots. And, you know, I told the guys this morning at the team meeting, this shouldn't scare you, right? Like, you've got to be compelled to want to compete. You've got to put yourself in a situation and an environment to want to get the team better. You've got to improve yourself here, and you've got a chance to do that this spring. And I just think it's good for everybody. You know, we've got to be able to just raise our level of competition amongst the team. We've got to make sure that individuals develop themselves, and we just got to challenge everybody that, you know, when we get here in the fall, we need guys ready to go. We need guys ready to play a season, and we want to play a season that's obviously much better than what we did this past fall.
Competition's always a good thing, Coach, because it makes you a better player.
For sure. No, it's one of our values. It's something that we really talk about a lot, and our competitive spirit needs to be something that's on display all the time, no matter what we do.
Head Coach Shane Richardson joins us right here on Radio Results Network, and let's have a great rest of this recruiting day.
Thank you, Casey. It's a great day for Wildcat football, and you know, such a great relief sometimes when you put all the hard work and you can really see the fruits of this. And you know, once again, thank you for your help here. I think you do a great job here, and I appreciate you spending time with me today.
Coach Shane Richardson joins us right here on Radio Results Network, brought to you by Window Outfitters.